Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Father, we praise you this morning. We give you glory and honor for all you're doing and all you've done. In the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus our Messiah, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Anybody need an offering envelope? Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. If God has been so good to you, you ought to praise him. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Everybody getting an envelope needs one. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Are you blessed this morning? Amen. That's better. Hallelujah. Everybody getting an offering envelope? Anybody that's got so much money you need two, we'll give you two. Amen. You never know. I think I've told you this, but I used to tell them all the time, you're writing that check, you spell 1,000, T-H-O-U-S-A-N-D. And, you know, you as a pastor, you get to know your congregation. And I can almost, within $100, tell you what the offering's going to be every week, okay? Now, I do get surprised from time to time, okay? But I had a single mother that worked as a waitress, not the person you would think, okay, came up to me and said, I don't write checks, but do you take cash? I laughed, joked. I said, yeah. Yeah, they ain't a preacher worth his salt won't take cash, you know. So, she was the first one to give $1,000. Single mama, you know, and that really, really humbled me. And it made me realize that you need to be a good steward over the tithe that people sow. Amen. And we certainly try to do that. Amen. You're blessed. Let's pray and you can give. Father, we thank you for seed that you give us to sow into your kingdom. I thank you, Father. It's a good deal. We get 90%, you get 10. And Father, we just thank you that when we place that seed in the hand of a mighty God, you'll multiply it. You'll use it to expand your kingdom and you'll cause a harvest back to the sower. For that, we give you glory, praise, and honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. I've been studying. When you're down, you have more time to read. And glory to God, I only had to take pain pills one day. So we're good. We've been pain pill free for about 4 days now. Hallelujah. So I've got to study, and I was working on some messages on the Holy Spirit. And I came across a... can you grab that big Bible there underneath my Bible, Deb? And I came across a text. And I got to dig it. Can you open that to Psalms 82? You might not be able to see it without your glasses. And I came across a text. You're right at it? All right. And I'm not preaching. Aaron's going to share with you. I just want to tell you. I came across this text. So if you got your Bibles, turn to Psalms 82. Let's just take a minute. You know, sometimes when you read a verse, how many of you have read a verse and you're like, I'll just keep going. You know, I have no clue what that means. You know, and so I read this verse, and here's what it says. God has taken his place in the divine council. In the midst of the gods, he holds judgment. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Now he's talking to the council. Whoever his council is, he's talking to them. Give justice to the weak and the orphan. Maintain the right of the lowly, the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk around in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I say you are gods, children of the Most High, all of you. Nevertheless, you shall die like mortals, and fall like any prince. How many know verse 1 and verse 6 and 7? A little bit hard to translate, right? Huh? Wouldn't you say? Oh, there might be somebody in here knows what we're talking about. But in studying and look and digging out from sources on the Holy Spirit, I actually got over into the spiritual realm. And I've discovered some things, always in the Hebrew language. The Hebrew language brings these things out. And so I'm looking forward to getting back in the groove here. Classes start August 13th. That's a Tuesday night if you're interested. If not, I'll be here teaching to the camera. I've done that a lot. There are several students already that's going to take classes online. I have brochures here. But I will be teaching a class on Wednesday just for you all in case you can't make it on Tuesday. Amen? Everybody blessed. Glory to God. But anyway, the Word of God excites me. You know, especially when I come across something that I didn't know, which is a lot. How many know there's more we don't know about God than what we know about God? Amen? So, with no further ado, Aaron Helen, come on up. Do we call you Pastor Aaron? What are you? Missionary Aaron? He's a good friend. Amen? We've supported him for a long time. He's done some translation work for us into Spanish. And he is in Brazil with his wife, Esther. By the way, how'd you get that pretty wife?
It was a miracle.
At least you're honest. Okay. All right. So here, I won't say anything else. But you can tell Esther and the kids that they can watch you online. We'll tell you how later.
Okay. Amen. And it's 12 o'clock. You guys finish at what time? What time do you normally finish? 12:30? You guys finish usually at 12:30, or do you preach for an hour and a half?
Nearly 45 minutes.
Okay, all right.
You take your time. You need to turn off the light there so we can see.
I guess so. Oh, my. All right. Well, it's great to be here with you guys. I'm Aaron. I am your missionary in Brazil. And so you guys have been supporting us for 7 years. We've been 6 years on the field, but you guys have been supporting us for about 7 years because it took us a year and a half to raise all our support to go down to Brazil. And we've been 6 years. We've just finished our second term. So the way it works with World Missions is you do 3 years, then come back for 6 months, then go back for another 3 years. So we just finished our second term, our second 3 years, but we can't do 6 months because the kids are all in school. So I came back for a month, and I'm trying, instead of coming back for 6 months every 3 years, I'm trying to do a month every year to see if we can keep our missionary account up. But, so you guys have been with us all these years, and all the money you have invested in the work in Brazil, God has multiplied it. You know, the Bible says, he says that, he talks about when you plant, sometimes it's 30, 60, and 100 fold. Well, you guys have, God has really, really blessed the offering that you have put there in Brazil. So let me talk. I wanted to talk a little bit about my family, if that's all right with you, and then talk a little bit about the work. So our first term in Brazil was wonderful. I got to learn Portuguese. We got to learn the one-on-one discipleship, the small groups that we do down there. We got to do trips on the Amazon. For 3 years, I got to get bitten by mosquitoes every single night. All my kids sleeping in mosquito nets. We had breakout revival. Many, many people saved. Many miracles, stuff I'd never seen in my life. I've been involved in healing ministry my whole life. But the stuff we saw down there, I had never, ever seen in my life. And I think I shared some of that last time I was here. 3 years ago. Everybody remember? No, nobody remembers. But anyways, yeah, we went down. The church we were working with had 6,000 people, and we baptized 1,000 people a year. So by the time after 3 years, we had 9,000 people, and just a lot of miracles. What I did a lot that first term was I trained a lot of teenagers. We did a lot of evangelism, street ministry. So I trained them on how to move in the gifts, how to do the move in the prophetic, how to move in healing. And so we'd go door to door in many cities, many towns, many villages. We'd go to door to door praying for people, and we just saw just an amazing explosion of miracles and everything you can imagine except raising the dead. I'm still waiting for that. But that was our first term, so it was a great, great time. Now, our second term, what we did is we moved. You don't have to put it down yet. You can go back to the initial one. I'm almost there. Thank you. So our second term, what we did is we moved down south. So we've been up first 3 years up in north. Most of our churches there are in the Amazon, on the Amazon River. There's thousands of villages that are very isolated. The only way to get to them is on boats. We have a fleet of 100 boats that go up and down the Amazon River planting churches, and we have about 500 churches there, village churches. And of course, I don't know if I showed that video last time, but we have a video of us out there on the rivers and going to the villages. It's a lot of fun, a lot of fun. And the fish is incredible. The fish is amazing. And you know that. Have you eaten? It's peacock. What is it? Rainbow peacock bass? The peacock bass is unbelievable. There's like three types of fish. Every time I'm in the Amazon, I've got to eat them. They are just so unbelievably good. There's one called the pirarucu. That's also very good. It's about 12 feet long. And one scale is about that size. Just one scale. And I every time there, I got to eat the pirarucu. I've got to eat the peacock bass. Peacock bass kind of just melts in your mouth. It is so good. But anyways, let's not talk about food because it's getting late. I might lose you there if I start talking about all the... Anyway, so we're up in the north of Brazil, where we were ministering, is 95% unevangelized. There's many parts of Brazil that are very evangelized, but where we were, it's 95% unevangelized. There were thousands and thousands of villages and cities without a single church. So that's where we were working. So a lot of revival, a lot of move of God. Now, what we did the second term is we went down with a team down to the largest city of Brazil called São Paulo. So we've been there. We went there 3 years ago, right at the start, and we started a church plant from scratch. And so we went the first year, we're doing preparation, and so we've been operating the church for the last 2 years, and it's been amazing, amazing blessing of the Lord. And so I'll talk a little bit here about our last 3 years. But here's my family. There I am. There's Esther, my wife, Christina. So Christina's now taller than her mom. If any of you remember, when we went on the field, everybody was very small. Now everybody's growing. You know how that goes. So she's 13, but she's taller than her mom. Here's Gracie. Here's Abraunzinho. When we went on the field, he was 1 year old. So now he's grown up. He hardly remembers United States. He's only visited a few times these last few years. So he doesn't even remember where he grew up or anything. So, and there's Joshua. They're right in the middle. So he's taller than me now. He's going to be 17 now in September, and he's doing real good. And I'll go as we go through here. I'll talk a little bit about each one of them. Let's go to the next slide. All right. So here we have Gracie. I don't know if anybody remembers Gracie. She's very blonde and very timid. I'm joking. She likes to talk. She talks anything that she thinks. She's there talking about it. She's very lively, very full of energy. And there's Christina Brown. So let me go ahead and talk a little bit about Christina. Let's go to the next picture. There's Christina. So what we did was The first 4 years we were on the field, we homeschooled with idea. You know, we used Abeka, very good material, homeschooling material, with idea of them getting their education, homeschooled, then come and do their college here in the States. But then we ran into something because my son Joshua, his desire has always been to be a medical doctor in the Amazon, medical missionary doctor. That's always, always, always been what he's wanted to do. And he still holds to that. He loves when we go on our Amazon trips. He's always there with a doctor, sits with a doctor, sees everything the doctor does. And Christina sits with a dentist and is there helping extract teeth and everything when we're on our medical mission trips. But we found out that in Brazil, you cannot practice medicine if you have your degree from another country. So what we did a strategic, made a strategic decision that since that's always been the lifelong goal to be a medical mission doctor, they're in the Amazon, to go ahead and switch him to Brazilian school so he can get his degree, his medical degree there in Brazil so that he can be a medical mission doctor. So in these last 2 years, they've been in Brazilian school, and they've done very well. Their Portuguese has gotten better and better. The only one that suffered was Christina. So her first year was rough because of bullying. So we put her into the Brazilian school, and she's taller than all the girls and all the boys, you know, much taller, very, very beautiful, speaks English, is a foreigner. So, you know, the number of girls did not like that at all and started bullying her, making fun of her. If she didn't know a word or how to say something in Portuguese, they'd be really, really rough on her. And so she went, that first year was a tough time. Many days she'd come home crying, so we'd pray with her and cry with her, and it was a tough time. In fact, it got a moment that really, really, really got me upset was she came home one day, and they just taken a Portuguese grammar test. And she'd been studying, just getting better and better and better. So they took this Portuguese grammar test, and the teacher came in with all the tests and said, okay, I corrected all the tests. And he said, and the highest grade in the class goes to so-and-so, a young man there in the class, and everybody clapped, oh, you got the highest grade. And the second highest grade is Christina, and everybody went, boo, boo. Everybody started booing her. So that, because they were upset that a foreigner got a much better grade than any of them did on the Portuguese grammar test. So it was a rough going her first year. But thankfully, God turned that all around. The second year, this last year has been phenomenal. We started a small, she started a small group for adolescents, for her age group, in our front room. And she started inviting a bunch of people from her class. So many of them started coming, started getting saved. And so they start accepting the Lord, coming to church, and she led them to the Lord, and now she's discipling a number of them, and God's totally changed everything. So she's got this great group of friends that she's won to the Lord, that she's discipled, and everybody stopped bullying her at school, and she's a great leader, top of her class, academically, spiritually, and God's really, really using her. We're very, very happy, and she's also learned these last 3 years to play violin. Hey, she inherited a violin from her grandmother. Her grandmother played in the symphony orchestra in Independence, Missouri. So it's an old violin, you know, probably 100 years old that she inherited, and she's learned to play somewhere. Anyways, let's go to the next one. Aha. So this came out about a month ago. This is a publication from the school where Joshua is at. And the reason we highlighted and put that on it is every year they have a Physics Olympics nationwide. It's a large country, and they have a Physics Olympics. And so he got a bronze medal nationwide in Brazil in the Physics Olympics. So he's really doing very, very well and getting ready to take the entrance exams. He's taking every year. He's a junior now. He'll be a senior. So this is the second time this year. He started his sophomore year taking the entrance exams to the medical school, so he's taking them every year and getting better and better at that. And he starts school at 7 o'clock in the morning, gets home about 2 or 3, and then he studies till 10 or 11 o'clock at night every single day.
because it's tough to get in the medical school. So he's working very hard. We're very proud of him. Let's go to the next picture. Here's Abraunzinho, our 8-year-old. We love him. He's a youngest, so he loves to tell jokes and laugh, and he's a very, very bright spot in our life. And he loves to travel with me, minister with me. Our daughters all work in the children's ministry. He's like, I want to work in it too. I want to work in the children's ministry. You know, everything we do. He loves to prophesy. We do 5 days a week. We do family devotions. So in the family devotions, you know, we'll memorize verses or read the Bible. But I've worked a lot of them on how, you know, how to flow in the spirit, the prophetic healing. And so he loves, I'll take him with him to, okay, Abraham, start prophesying. He gets up and he starts prophesying, and he's awesome. We love him so much. He's Abraunzinho, we call him in Portuguese. Abraunzinho, little Abraham. Let's go to the next slide. And so here's Gracie. I have a funny story. When we were itinerating seven years ago, it was here in E4, but I don't remember what church. And she was 4 years old at the time, and she's always been very outspoken. Anything that comes into her brain, she just says it. So I was at one church. I don't remember what church it was, but I was there. I hope it wasn't this one. So I was there, you know, talk about the Amazon and our river trips, and she's standing right there, right? And in the middle of my presentation, she gets on her feet and starts speaking as loud as she can. It's lies. It's all lies. It's all a lie. My wife's like, Gracie. So anyways, to this day, we remember that fondly. I wish I remember what church it was. I don't think they ever supported me. No, I'm just kidding. So she's a blessing. And to this day, she's that way. Last year, we were memorizing Bible verses. And so we memorized Romans 10, 9, and 10. If you believe in your heart that Jesus raised from the dead and confess your mouth that he is Lord, you shall be saved. We memorized that in Portuguese. And so the very next day, we were at the store. And she goes up to the clerk and starts reciting the whole verse to her and asking her if she wants to pray to receive Jesus. So she's very bold that way. I remember I was coming in one day to apartment complex where we live. I was walking in and I saw her talking, very, very engaged, talking to an older lady. So I get closer and I hear this conversation and she's going, "You're Catholic and you worship the saints? Don't you know that is not biblical? You can't worship the saints." So I'm like, "Come on, Gracie. God bless you. Come on, Gracie. What are you doing?" You know. So she has no problem at all speaking her mind and what she believes. She's a blessing. But God does, and because of that, of course, God uses her. God is. She loves to go up to ladies and say, "Oh, you're so beautiful. God loves you." And we actually have testimony of a number of ladies that we met that started coming to church and got saved just because of her doing that. We had last year, this is another, oh yeah, we're fine. Another story is last year, she was at this school, and the teacher called my wife, Esther, and she says, "Esther, you can't believe what happened. What happened? Your daughter, she's a prophet." And she starts telling the story. Now, her teacher, we put him in a Christian school, and her teacher is a widow. Her husband was murdered 6 years ago. Brazil has a very high crime rate. That's very, very high. I'm not going to go into that now. I have many stories about that too. God has spared our life. Thank the Lord. But her teacher goes, and so that day, teacher came to school, and she was sitting there, and she was very depressed because she was a widow, had a child. She was all alone, and she was just telling the Lord, "Lord, why is life so difficult? I'm by myself. I've got my child. I've got to work two jobs, and everything just so difficult. Lord, why? And Lord, my life is so difficult. I don't have any color in my life."
everything's just drab, black and white, and I don't see any hope. So she was just kind of sitting there having this conversation with herself, very depressed. And Gracie was at her desk drawing. She was drawing and putting colors and different things on it. And so the teacher's sitting there, and Gracie comes up and says, "Teacher, teacher, look at what the Lord showed me, what the Lord showed me." And she put the picture in there. "The Lord said that he's put many colors in your life." And she started, it was a little boat with different colors, and she said, "And look at the green means this, that God's doing in your life, and the red means this." And so she started going through it, and it just touched her and impacted her. She just started weeping there, and she was very impacted. She went to the director of the school and said, "Look at what Gracie did. God spoke to her for me," and showed her the picture, called my wife up, and still talks to my wife. And she said, till this day, I have that picture. I keep that picture with me to remind him of how God loves me. So she is great. Let's go to the next picture. 2 years ago, we noticed there was a growth on her neck, on Gracie's neck. So we took her to the doctor. They did a biopsy, and they said it's benign. You don't have to worry about it. Well, a year went past, and it was just getting bigger and bigger. So we went again to the doctor. They did another biopsy, and they said it's a 75% chance of being cancer. With, you know, they did a biopsy and looked at it, 75. So then we started going through a crisis. It was a very hard situation for me and my wife, our 10-year-old daughter, beautiful daughter, being diagnosed with 75% chance of cancer. And so he's a surgeon, so we went to him, and he looked at it, and he said, "We're going to have to take the thyroid out." It was a tumor on the thyroid. "We're going to have to take the tumor out." The thyroid, first he did a scan, and it had not spread, so praise the Lord. But he said, "We're going to have to take out the thyroid. She's going to have to be on thyroid medicine the rest of her life." Of course, that was breaking our heart. And we're saying, "Is there any way you can just take off the tumor and leave the thyroid so she won't have to be on medicine the rest of her life?" And he said, "Well, if it's cancer, I've got to take the whole thing out, or else it'll just come back and spread." So that was a very, very tough time for my wife, for me, and that whole preparation. Very, very tough time. The time came for the operation. As you can tell, he's Japanese. Brazil has more Japanese than any other country outside of Japan. They immigrated there at the turn of the century and after World War II. Many hundreds of thousands of Japanese are there in Brazil. And they're all doctors and lawyers and business owners. They're cool, very nice people. So he came on the day of the surgery. He brought with him a cancer specialist, another doctor, cancer specialist. He did the incision, and he took out a bit of the cancer, gave it to the other doctor, the cancer specialist. He was able to analyze it on the spot, and thank God it wasn't cancer. So they were able to take out the tumor but leave the thyroid. Praise the Lord. And she's been doing a checkup now every single month, and the thyroid's working well. Everything's fine. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the next. And there she is the day after her surgery, all happy. We love her to death. She's such a blessing, our little Gracie. And she's got her testimony now of how God healed her. Let's go to the next one. All right, so that's a little bit about my family. Let me talk a little bit about the ministry side. Of course, we've been working very, very hard on the ministry side. And so I'll just show you a few of the things, because there's way too many things to talk about in the short time we have. But of course, we've always been very involved in evangelism and church planting. And so we went there 3 years ago, took the first year to kind of prep. You know, everybody had to find a job, get a place to live, etc. And we started operating our church plant then about two years ago. And it's been a little rough because we couldn't find a place that the city government would let us use. In fact, we only signed for the church building about a month ago. So we've been 3 years looking, just it's a big city,
you know how it goes with cities and big with city governments and big cities. We found many places that were wonderful, and they would not approve it. But finally, we got it. So meanwhile, we rented a restaurant, a little bit bigger than this, seats about 230, and we started renting it just on Sundays, and to do our meetings. And so we've been running four services in that little restaurant, about 1,000 people. Last Sunday I was there, we had 1,000 people right before I came out here. And so we've been limited, but God's been blessing a lot in our little church band. And on top of that, we've already sent out, I think we sent out five church planting teams from our church plant. So right here, let's go to the next picture. So this young man, see that young man with the white beard? His name's Pastor Gildo. He's actually one of my disciples. Awesome man of God. And in January, we sent him off to a city that it's a driving distance of 14 hours. So this is when we first got to the city. We all did a circle and we're praying and thanking God that everybody got there safe and starting our next church plant. Let's go to the next picture. And that's his group. We sent him off with about 30 people from our church to start this church plant. And so he's been there since January, and they already have a building, and they're kicking it off October, their church. So we've already sent off five church planting teams, and most of them like this, you know, 30 to 50 people to new cities, you know, across Brazil to plant churches. So that's been. And of course, since he's my disciple, then I keep discipling him. I talk to him every week. We can contact, and I you know, help and supervise that church plant and a number of other church plants. All right, let's go to the next one. So we do church planting, and of course, small groups and discipleship is our strength. We have a great revival, but the reason, one of our strengths is the discipleship. So we practice one-on-one discipleship. So if I win anybody to Christ, I meet with them every week, encourage them, help them, ground them in the Word, and we have and I develop a very strong discipleship relationship. So I spend, I believe it's 14 hours a week. I looked at my schedule. I spend 14 hours a week doing discipleship. So that's a huge chunk of my schedule is meeting with my disciples about 14 hours a week. I spend all day Friday and about 4 or 5 hours on Thursday. So I start Thursday night, 4 or 5 hours, and then all day till about 10 o'clock at night on Fridays, all I do is sit down and disciple, meet with my people, do one-on-one discipleship. And let's go to the next one. And so here we have a group of our disciples. And, of course, each one has an amazing story. This gentleman up here, he's Pastor Lucio. What kind of mouse? It's actually a mouse.
You were scared.
It's actually a mouse. I was scared. I was going to run out. I was like a mouse. I was like, is he kidding with me? But it's a mouse. He never kids, you know. He never jokes. And so this Pastor Lucio, which he planted our church in Rio. Anybody ever been to Rio? Rio's the most beautiful city I've seen in my life. So, you know, if you like, I like mountains and I like beaches. It's all there together. It's unbelievable. Just don't go out into the favelas or you'll get shot. But anyways, favelas is a slum area, and you will get shot. Literally. Okay. But anyways, and each of them, of course, have amazing stories. Let me tell you just one short story of Dorochi. This is Dorochi. She's one of our, let me tell you how we met her. And this is kind of funny. We got to Sao Paulo. And we moved into this little apartment. Me and my four kids and my wife, six of us, we live in a 900-square-foot apartment. So it's
There's a lot of laughing, a lot of joy, a lot of irritation sometimes. But anyways, it's great. It's great. So we moved into our little apartment in Sao Paulo, and we're only there about 2 days, and my wife says, "Aaron, why don't you put up a shelf here in the kitchen so I can stack stuff on it?" And I'm like, "Okay, I'll put a shelf up in the kitchen for you." So I get my drill, go to the wall, and it starts going in and it stops. It won't go in any farther. And I'm like, "Wow, what in the world? What did they build this thing out of?" So I push on it and I grunt, and I notice that the tip got dull, so I put on another tip, and I kept, and I went at it for about 20 minutes, trying to drill that hole into the wall. And after about 20 minutes, it went through. And I heard, I'd hit a natural gas pipe. So it started coming out, and I was like, uh-oh. I put my finger on it. "Honey, get the kids out of here. I just hit the natural gas. This is very dangerous." So she got the kids, and they weren't ready to go out, you know. They were all no makeup and pajamas, and they run down to the first floor. And I'm sticking my finger, but that doesn't do anything. So I go down. We call, talk to the person in front of our apartment. We call the natural gas company. They come out, and the guy's like, "Man, this place could blow at any second." So they evacuate the whole building. So my wife is sitting there on the first floor going like this as all the neighbors come down, all embarrassed, and I'm there shaking everybody's hands. I get to meet all my neighbors on my second day there. And Brazilians, you know, they're kind of happy people. So we had a big party. Everybody else smiling and laughing and getting to know each other, and we're having a big party. My wife's going, So anyways, I had drilled the natural gas pipe going to her apartment. She lived on the 7th floor, and her husband was taking a hot shower and suddenly became bitterly cold. And they couldn't figure out what was going on. It's because I... So we fixed it. The next day, my wife cooked cinnamon rolls, which they've never heard of in Brazil. So I went up to their apartment with a bunch of cinnamon rolls, gave it to them, met them, became very good friends. When we started our life group, a few months later, she was invited. She started coming to our life group. Then she got saved. Then she started coming to church. And Esther's been discipling her for the last 2 years. And she's very, very involved in church now and in our children's ministry, and she's a blessing. So that's just a funny little story, but each one of our disciples have wonderful testimonies and wonderful things that God has done. All right, let's go to the next one. Okay, now this is a new one. I did not do this the first term, but they asked me to head up the children's ministry at our church plant. And then they asked me to head up the children's ministry for all of our 900 churches. So this came out of nowhere, but it's been amazing. It's been amazing, amazing. Let's go to the next. There I am. There's Missionary Aaron. Missionary Aaron. So I spent the last 2 years working on curriculum. First, we worked with Life Church out of Edmond, Oklahoma, to translate and dub all their videos and material for the early childhood, and we launched that in January for free to all of Brazil. And then on top of that, I've spent another year and a half working on the next age group, elementary age group, that we've written a curriculum for that, and we just launched it about a month ago, also for free to all of Brazil, because we had 900 churches, but no material, no infrastructure. I'd get into one of our huge churches, wonderful service, many people get saved, you go to the children's ministry, you'd go into a room made for 20 people and they had 60 kids in there, and no trained personnel, so a volunteer going, and everybody jumping off the walls, and just total chaos, disaster, no material. So we've been working on that. Let's go to the next
So we've developed the material these last 2 years. We've launched it for free to all any church in Brazil. And there's Gracie right there. Hey, there's Gracie. And, of course, even simple things like this, putting up balloons and decor, which is doesn't cost much, but they'd never seen that. They're like, wow, that's amazing. You know, things that we take for granted. You know, big churches here in the States, you know, they'll put a Disneyland right in the church. We kind of take that for granted. But in Brazil, they've never seen that. So even the little simple things we're doing is just revolutionizing all the children's ministry down there. Let's go to the next. So what I'm doing here, I'm writing the curriculum, and I'm very Pentecostal, so what I do a lot of emphasis in the flow of the Spirit. So what I'm doing here is I'm doing a teaching to the kids on how to prophesy, how to hear the voice of God, and how to prophesy. So and we've had so at least twice a year I'll do a month or 2 months on how to flow in the gifts of the Spirit, and we've had so many testimonies of visions and God flowing prophetic words and healing. I also do at least a month or 2 months per year on healing, and so I teach it and then I have them do it. And so many of them, God has been using kids, you know, 6, 7, and 8 year old kids, God has used them in healing. So it's a wonderful thing that God's doing. What I do is I'm a missionary, so missions is part of my DNA, and flowing the Spirit is part of my DNA. So our curriculum is very, very strong in missions, getting them to get a missions heart, and also evangelism and flow of the Spirit. All right, let's go to the next one. And we're finishing up here. So here's Esther. And this is up in the north at one of our bases. We got together probably about 40 churches, and she's helping me. She's teaching on children's ministry. And so this year, it's been amazing. We've been able to train over 1,000 children's workers in Brazil this year. It's been a blessing, such a blessing. Let's go to the next one. Oh, this is also very, very strong in my heart. That right there is Abraão. He's hugging that young man there. This is an outreach we did earlier to the slum part of that. We went to the slums and did an outreach to the children that live in the slums, in the favelas. Ministered to them, and we dressed up Abraãozinho as Jesus. There's Abraãozinho dressed up as Jesus giving hugs to the needy children there in the slums. So evangelism, outreach, all that is very, very strong in our hearts. Let's go to the next one. And here's Christina in one of our teaching in one of our classes there in children's ministry. So she is awesome. She loves to do that, her and Gracie also. So she teaches a 4 and 5 year old. Gracie loves to do the 2 and 3 year olds. So this is a new area in our second term that's really been growing quite a bit. Something that came out of nowhere. We didn't expect it. So among the many things, this is something that we're very, very excited about. And I think we're about ready. Let's go to the next one. Ta-da! That's the Brazilian flag. Order and progress. That's the slogan of Brazil. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that's a little bit about what's been happening this second term there in Brazil. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. That everything you guys are investing, and you guys are very important supporting church for us. You're one of the churches that helps, you know, financially quite a bit. So I would just want to thank you and just say that. Thank you for being with us for 7 years. You know, many people in churches haven't stayed with us for 7 years, but you guys have. And so that means a lot to me. It means a lot to my wife to have the money coming in and be able to pay the rent and pay the bills. So thank you so, so much. Pastor Butch, my time's about up.
Can you give us a little bit on prophecy, how you teach people to prophesy, and things? Do you have a little
Yes, I have many, 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 many hours that I can't do right now. I give. Thing is, I can't teach anybody how to prophesy, but I can. What I do is I give a biblical basis of how it works. I give the parameters of prophecy so that it's actually biblical and it doesn't hurt people. You know, a lot of people are scared of prophecy because a prophet will come up and he'll say stuff that will hurt people, and, you know, he'll go against the pastor and divide the church. You know, that type of stuff. We don't want that. So I give a basic teaching on the parameters, and if you stay within those biblical parameters, it's a blessing. Everybody loves it. It helps you. God moves, and you don't have all this weird stuff going on. And then I talk about the basic tools that we use to prophesy. So there's several basic tools that we use to prophesy, and I teach them that biblically, what those basic tools are. And then I give them the opportunity to hear God's voice and share what God's doing with them. So actually, that's another thing I didn't mention, but I do a lot of that in Brazil. I do a lot of prophetic schools and schools of flowing in the gifts of the Spirit, yeah. So my area of training real strong is a prophetic and healing. Yeah. And healing. Those are the two areas that I train a lot in. Praise the Lord. I usually spend a Saturday about 6 to 8 hours doing that. Yeah, so it's kind of hard to. But it's real simple. It's real simple. The prophetic tools are real simple. It's nothing. It's. Yeah. So. Amen. My time's about up, but what we can do, Pastor Butch, I have 3 minutes. If you want to choose maybe three people, I'll just give them a prophetic word of encouragement. If you want to do that, I'll just give them a prophetic word of encouragement. Amen. All right, well, I don't want to take up all the time, but yeah, let's do a little bit here. What's your name?
Jackie.
Jackie.
Mm.
Jackie Dufour?
Dufour.
Dufour. Okay.
The Lord Dufour.
Okay, several things I'm seeing. First of all, I'm just seeing a crown of God's grace and favor upon your life. Amen. Seeing a crown. You are a queen. He has called you to reign for him, and I see his favor. Another thing, I'm just seeing God's protection on you. I'm just seeing God's protection, so you never have to be afraid when you go and talk to people and to go wherever God has called you, because he is putting his protection on you. Amen. Another thing that I'm seeing, discernment in your life. Discernment.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's going to be choices and things that you've got to make in the future, and he will guide you and help you to make the correct choices. Amen. And one other thing I'm seeing is that the Lord is giving you vision and allowing you to see, to have a greater vision also for his work in your life. Amen. 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 Is there anybody here that you have in leadership you'd like me to just give a little word of encouragement over, Pastor Butch? Don't tell me anything. Amen. Amen. I was enjoying your teaching.
Thank you.
This morning. Good morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. What I'm seeing right now, first thing I'm just seeing like a path that God has prepared for you. And you know the drawbridges
that are built over a river. And obviously you can cross over them, but when a big ship is coming, it kind of lifts. And at that moment, you can't walk over that road, that bridge, because you've got, it's protecting you. It's letting that ship go on through. And then as once it's safe, it comes back down and you can cross over it. So just what I'm sensing is you're on the correct road and God's got his correct timing. And sometimes you know, I have to go over there, but it seems like the drawbridge went up and you can't get over. And just what I'm sensing is God's timing. God has his correct timing, and that timing's there to protect us. So you will get to where you're going in God's timing, and it's because of God's protection to making sure that you cross at the correct time at the when it's safe to go through and get to where you're going to go. Amen. Just another thing I'm seeing the heart that God has put in you. I'm seeing a beautiful heart that God has put there. It's got a life, and it's got God's blessing. And I'm seeing you sharing that heart with other people. In fact, I'm seeing other people that really love the Lord, but they've got problems in their heart. And as you minister to them, love on them, you influence them so their heart starts becoming like that, a loving heart, a blessed heart. Amen. Because you have your priorities straight. First thing I'm seeing here is I'm seeing a fishing rod. Yeah. So I don't know anything, but I'm seeing a fishing rod. And of course, when I see a fishing rod, that to me represents that there are people that you're going to bring to Jesus. That you're going to bring to Jesus. And God's already prepared those fish. God has prepared those souls. Amen. So reel them in because God is with you. Another thing I'm seeing, I am just seeing that God has put an anointing on you to make you beautiful to people, to make you attractive to people because of your love and your heart for God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And then one last thing, I just see God putting vision in your heart. I know you've already seen many things in life, and God has used you to do many things, but I also see vision that God has put you, that as God has put in your heart, that you're still going to see come to pass. So keep on keeping on, that you are a beautiful instrument in God's hands. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody else, Pastor Butch, before we finish here? Who? They're wanting me to get a word over here. Oh, she's the mayor. See, you shouldn't have told me that, see? But I remember meeting you last time I was here. I was here on a Wednesday night, I think. All right. Amen. I just see a net to catch fish is what I'm seeing. But what I'm seeing is a little bit different. Normally I see it in people's hands, you know. God is giving them but I'm seeing it over your head. I'm not sure exactly how to interpret that. But I see you sitting there, and I see above your head, I see a net to catch fish. Amen. Another thing that I'm seeing, I'm just seeing perseverance in your life, a spirit of perseverance. Some things that God gives us to do, sometimes we do them quickly. Other times he gives us things that might take a while. And then other things that maybe take our whole life. But as you persevere, you will see those things that God has for you be fulfilled long term. Amen. So I'm just seeing a spirit of perseverance. And another thing I'm seeing is just God giving you a backbone of steel to stand your ground and do what you have to do, because he is with you. Amen. And nothing can push you back. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me just give a word here to... I was saying that his suit and tie looked very beautiful today. Yeah, we love Pastor Butch. He's my personal theologian. Every time we come up here, we always sit there and I have to learn all the new things about the interpretation of scriptures, right, from the Jewish viewpoint. And so it's been a blessing. He's given me a lot of books to read, and I've read through those and just really, you know, it's been amazing to sit and actually understand passages that you've read your whole life and you have no clue what they meant, right? In the Gospels and all that. I'd always read through and say, that is so weird. And then Pastor Butch comes and, oh, okay, that's what it means. Amen. Praise the Lord. Pastor Butch, this does not apply at the moment in the physical world because of your... But what I saw in the spirit of you on a trampoline, jumping up and down and doing flips. And God has just given you that anointing, that acrobatic anointing in the spirit, to be flexible, to be innovative, to be athletic, and to... Just to be very flexible, athletic, and it's just that's what I'm seeing in the spirit, is you're a person that can jump up and down on that trampoline and do flips and all that type of stuff, and it's something that's attractive to many people. And they look at you and they say, wow, look at that guy. And it inspires them to also receive from the Lord. Inspires them to also renew their spirit, renew their mind, renew their strength in the Lord. Another thing, and of course I know you for many years, I know you're a great teacher, but I just see that very strong anointing on you to continue bringing food. And not only to the people that are older in the faith, but I see you bringing a lot of food to people that are young in the faith and really marking their lives and putting them on a very solid ground. And a big part of your ministry, see, your ministry isn't just for now and for your lifetime. You're imparting into people's lives, and your teaching and your heart is going to continue being transmitted to the next generation, and we know that you're a youth leader too, but several generations down the line. And so your impact is gonna be measured through several generations. Amen. Praise the Lord. And Debbie, right? Your beautiful wife, Debbie. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. First thing I'm just seeing a wonderful anointing of prayer and intimacy with the Lord in your life. I just see God moving very strongly with this. And let me just do a small prophetic act here. The name of Jesus, I just take out these arrows that represent words of criticism and negative words spoken over her life. In the name of Jesus, I break their power. Thank you, Lord, for your peace and love. Debbie's mine in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. And I just see a strong pastoral anointing in your life. I see a strong anointing to take care of the sheep and to love them and to lead them. I see that. I see the shepherd's staff in your hand. Amen. And also, I see you as a visionary woman, a woman that with spiritual insight, a spiritual sight. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And one last thing. Let me just bless your feet. Lord said, beautiful are the feet of those who proclaim the good news. And so I just see an anointing on your life for evangelism and for sharing God's good news, and I just bless your beautiful feet. Thank you, Lord. You're anointing these feet and blessing every place where she goes to share your good news. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's the first 10 steps that are the toughest. After you get them going, it's not so bad. The first 10. Y'all blessed this morning. Isn't it good to be able to see where our dollars are going? Amen. And every time someone gets saved, healed, and filled with the Holy Spirit in Brazil, we get a little credit for it. Amen. In heaven. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I appreciate Aaron coming. I've gave to missionaries before and never got an opportunity to build a relationship with them and get to know them. Amen. And so I appreciate out of Aaron. He is, you were our first E4N missionary, right? You and Esther? Yeah. First career missionary out of Ephesians 4 Network. So we're very proud of him. And one of the reasons we have a relationship with him is I feel like we grew a son. We didn't just take anybody and plant him. He came up with E4N. He pastored a church in Chicago with E4N. 7 years? Was it that long? 7 years. On the south side of Chicago, in the baddest part of town. I don't know if you ever met Leroy Brown or not, but you know. But it was Hispanic church, and it was in a little bit of a rough neighborhood, you know. So that was just all preparation for Brazil. Amen. But I appreciate him coming. I appreciate seeing that, the money that we sow into them is put to good use. Amen. There's fruit coming off this tree. Remember, Jesus said, he didn't say we couldn't judge. He said we judge a tree by its fruit it produces. Amen. And there's good fruit here. And so we appreciate him. Let's pray, and I'll bless you, turn you loose. I look forward to seeing you Wednesday. We'll get into something in the Bible Wednesday. Hallelujah. Father, we love you and praise you. I thank you for Aaron. I just pray you bless Esther and the children while he's gone. Protect them. Look after him. Protect Aaron as he travels to North Carolina. And Father, I just pray that you would meet every need that their ministry has. Do exceedingly abundantly above all they could ever ask or think. And Father, we'll never fail to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all be blessed.